The reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 16 onwards. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the firstborn of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. The hope that is seen in is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us and groans, grants the words that we cannot express. And he who seeks our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for your word and the way that you speak to us. And Lord, I pray as I share what you placed on my heart to share this morning, Lord, that you would indeed speak to us, encourage us, build us up in our faith, draw us closer to you, help us to know you just that bit more and to understand you just that bit more, and to put our faith and trust in you just that bit more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue on our series on Romans, we get to Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. And I've entitled this morning, Groaning for the Future. Now notice I didn't say moaning for the future, because there's a difference between moaning and groaning. You know, when we get older, we find ourselves groaning much more. I don't know if you groan. We groan when we stand up after sitting for a while. And we groan when we sit after we've been standing for a while. I tend to groan when I see certain things on television. Or when I get an unexpected bill come through the door, and it's just another one. Or when I don't feel I have enough time to do everything, or to get everything done. In this Romans 8 passage, the word groan is used three times. We're told that creation groans. We're told that we groan, believers. And the Holy Spirit within us groans. So I want to explore this groaning this morning. Let's put this passage into its proper context. Back in verse 17, Paul has been talking to us about the rich privilege that is ours in Christ to be children of God. However, in the midst of this blessing, there is also the reality of suffering. Not only is there a natural human suffering of getting older and going through the difficult transitions of life, there is also the suffering that comes from being a child of God. Make no mistake, the Bible never tells us that if we come to Jesus, all our problems will go away. You know, I was rather pleased on that, because when I came to Christ, if someone had said that to me as I came to Christ and gave my life to Christ, you know, if you come to Christ, all your problems will disappear, and they didn't, I think I would have fallen away. And they said, well, I don't want to know then. But Jesus, in the Bible, never promises that when we come to him, all our problems will disappear, they will go away. We will be set free from the condemnation of sin, and we will be made new in Christ. But we will also be people who go against the culture of our world. I like this idea of swimming in the opposite direction, swimming against the flow. We will be asked to go against the culture of our world. We may not be imprisoned or executed like believers in other countries for our faith, but we will face ridicule and rejection from many. How can we stand in times such as this? Well, in our reading, Paul tells us that we need to look to the future. We need to look to the future. He doesn't tell us that for everything we suffer, there will be equal blessing in heaven. No. Paul tells us that the heavenly blessings are so much greater than the sufferings that it is not even worth trying to compare the two. What we go through here and now compared to what we will receive in heaven, it's no good even trying to compare the two. Our suffering is minute, virtually insignificant in comparison to the glory that is established for us in heaven. And it is through this thought of heaven that gets Paul thinking about groaning. As he says, that creation groans. In verse 19, Paul tells us that nature, creation, the created world, is groaning for the day of salvation. Why? Well, verse 20 tells us that creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. In other words, when sin entered the world, it had a cosmic effect. The entire creation was thrown out of balance when mankind sinned. We read in the book of Genesis, I love the book of Genesis, do you? We read in the book of Genesis these words. It says, to Adam, this is chapter 3, verses 17-18. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Because of Adam's sin, the ground was cursed. Thorns came upon the earth, and the harmony and the beauty and the splendor of God's perfect creation was tarnished. As God looked at his creation after the fall of man, God no longer could say, it is good. Do you ever wonder? I wonder about things. I always question all sorts. Do you ever wonder about hurricanes? Things like hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis and the like. Do you wonder why God allows such things? You know, you suddenly turn the news on, you suddenly see a total area, an island, or whatever it is, totally obliterated by one of these things. Do you ever wonder about that? Do you know, I believe, as I contemplate this, I believe that God didn't make these things to be part of his perfect plan. In fact, I suggest that they have become the result of the imbalance of nature that came about as a result of sin. Such destructive forces were never supposed to be. Do you wonder why even the animal world seems so vicious? I mean, I love watching nature programs. You know, all these different things that they put on, these different programs. And you know, when we watch these, I mean, do you ever wonder why everything seems so predatory? You know, the animals seem as if they're so vicious. Why did God make the world this way? Well, in the beginning, the Bible tells us that he didn't make it this way. It is a result of sin. Just as when you drop a stone in a pond, we see in the Bible a ripple effect from sin that extends out into all creation. But Paul says that the groaning of nature is like that of labor, verse 22. It is painful. It is difficult. It is also expectant. Do you know, I like watching Call the Midwife on the television. I mean, I love that series. I've watched quite a few of them. In fact, I've got a picture there of a whole box set you can buy. I haven't got that one. But I do like watching Call the Midwife. But you know, when I watch that and you see the actors going through the process of labour, I have to wonder, with all that pain of labour and giving birth, why would any mother want to have a second child? The obvious answer is because of the reward. A mother will endure the labour of delivery in exchange for the joy they anticipate from the child they will hold in their arms. And in the same way, the creation endures the present subjection in the confidence and hope of the glorious rebirth of God's creation. The Bible tells us that the earth will be purified through fire, 1 Peter 3. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth, 2 Peter 3. And things will be restored. But then in this Romans passage, Paul moves on to Christians, on to believers, and he says, Christians grow. Remember, I said it's not moaning. There's a difference. Creation is not the only thing that is groaning. Verses 23 to 25 of this Romans passage tells us that the believer groans as well. It says, we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. But in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we yet do not have, we wait for it patiently. There is a sense in which we could say, or we should say, that we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. As I said last week, those who have received Christ have been declared not guilty, because Christ has died for us. In that sense, we have already been saved. The penalty for sin has been paid in full. We stand not guilty before the throne of God. However, there is still a battle going on inside of us. We are still in the process of gaining victory over sin in our daily lives, in our daily living. In this sense, we are in the process of being saved. We are still learning to live by faith and not by sight. We are learning that the way of God is always superior to the ways of men. The Christian life is one of continual need for growth. I suppose in some ways it is true that we will not be truly saved, will not have the full benefits of the adoption as a child of God until we get to heaven. On that day, our sinful nature will be exchanged for the redemption of our bodies. We'll be given new bodies. The effects of sin will be fully and finally purged from us. And then and only then will we have the fullness of this new life that we are promised in Christ. Paul tells us that right now we only have a taste of what is to come. It's a bit like, I don't know if you've ever done this, it's a bit like dipping your finger in the cream on the top of a cake. I mean, hopefully no one else sees. But it's a bit like that, isn't it? And the way that Paul describes this is by saying that God has given us the first fruits of the Spirit, verse 23. The first fruit would have been like the hired man bringing the first ear of corn to show the farmer. This is the evidence that the corn is ready. It is the sure assurance that there is a good harvest to come. In Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, we are told that the Spirit is given as a deposit that guarantees our inheritance. What we sense, what we taste, and know now is only a foretaste of what is to come. This taste makes us yearn and groan for more. Paul's answer to what is that more is that we are waiting for the resurrection of the body. The Bible tells us that Jesus was resurrected in a real body, Likewise, we'll have a real resurrected body as well. Friends, there is coming a day when we will be set free from sin, from its effects, and from the limitations of our earthly bodies. So we've seen the creation groans, and Christians, believers in Christ, groan as they look forward to the future. Now finally, Paul says that God's Spirit groans. God's Spirit groans. In verses 26 and 27 it says this: in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. Just as the creation longs for the new creation, and we as believers long for the redemption of our bodies, so the Holy Spirit within us is also yearning, longing for God's will to be done in our life. The Spirit prays for us. Imagine that in our weakness, he helps us and he constantly prays for us. We may ask others to pray for us. Will you pray for me? But the Holy Spirit is already there, joining us in our prayers. And when we are without words, the Holy Spirit is not. When we are confused, the Spirit sees clearly. The language of the Spirit can seem like groaning and incomprehensible words to us, a bit like the gift of tongues. But they are words of yearning, longing for us to be as God would have us to be. The Holy Spirit groans with our spirit, groaning for the future, looking forward to how things will be when all things are made new. But what do we do with all this? Well, firstly, we need to understand that groaning is natural. I mean, life hurts. And the way things happen in life sometimes doesn't make much sense to us. And we go through difficulties and hurts, and we might cry out, God, this is not the way it was supposed to be. And in those times, God says, you're right. This is not the way it was supposed to be. Perhaps we wonder, is God powerless to stop these things? No. Let me tell you, God could stop these things anytime he wants. However, in his sovereignty, God has chosen to allow us to live with the consequences of the world as it is impacted by sin. Because he wants us to see the destruction that sin has caused, so that we might learn to hunger for the holiness of the life of God. He wants us to stop clinging to this life and start reaching for the life that is to come. And as we, through him, and it is only through him, as we do, he gives us hope. Hope for the now, for what we are now, and hope for the future. And hope in Christ Jesus. As we draw close to him, we come to realize, we need to realize, that this life is not our home. Everything that we see, everything we are at the moment, this is not our home. In fact, in some ways, we are just passing through. What do we do with all this? Well, friends, we live for Jesus in the now, but we keep our eyes on heaven. Because one day, he, Jesus, will return and make all things new. Creation groans for this. We groan for this. The Holy Spirit groans for this. We all groan for the future when all things will be made new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. Lord, it's so easy to think that we are on our own, You know, in our little circle, we stand alone. But we stand with all creation. We stand with every believer in this world. And we stand with all of heaven. All of creation groans for that future day. Help us to also join in with that, keeping our eyes fixed on heaven. And you, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, want the very best for us. As you pray for us, help us and encourage us to also fix our eyes on heaven. Lord, help us through this day and through the days to come to realize, Lord, that you are the most important. You are the one who makes the most of everything in our lives. The one we're supposed to be focusing on. We want to just glorify you. We want to live to glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen.